But does she do right things because she's righteous? Or is she righteous because she does right things? See, when you get it backward, it messes up all your theology. All right, so we're beginning a new series this weekend. It's entitled Grace Period. The reason I titled it Grace Period is because we're saved by grace, period. We're not saved by grace and. We're not saved by grace plus. We're not saved by grace but. I hear a lot of that. We're saved by grace, but no, we're saved by grace. And I'm talking about salvation. I'm not talking about sowing and reaping. I'm not talking about consequences of sin, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. I'm talking about how you're going to get to heaven. Now, I know we're saved by grace through faith. Okay, I got that. We're going to read that scripture. But as far as by, the word B-Y, it's by grace, period, even though we have to receive it. Does everyone get that? Okay, the reason I'm saying this is because when you got saved, you knew it was just God's grace that you were getting saved. You knew you didn't deserve it. But 5 years later, 10 years later, 30 years later, after you're a group leader, after you've learned how to use a Bible software, and even you found out what a Greek word means and how to look it up, and you don't sin as much as you used to, you know, you don't smoke or cuss or chew or go with girls that do, you know. Now that you're a little better, or maybe a lot better, maybe it's a little bit grace and your good works. But I'm going to nail it down for the next 4 weeks that it's grace, period. And if you have any type of works or legalism in you, it's going to rise up. I can just tell you, you're not going to like some of it because you're going to want to say, but, and I'm not, you're going to not say it out loud, I'm sure, but on the inside, I'm going to be saying, no buts. It's grace. And the reason I'm saying this, I promise you, is when you catch it, you will live the most joyous life, a life of gratitude, a life of thankfulness, because you'll know I was only saved by grace. Now, the name of this message, this first message, is called Right Standing. Right Standing. And I named it this because of something that happened a while, a long time ago, but with Debbie and me, we had a discussion. You know, before you get saved, it's called an argument. After you get saved, you say we had discussion. But what happened was, it wasn't her fault, but she said something that triggered something in me that had not been healed yet. And it hurt me. And she could tell that it hurt me. And so she tried to make it right, but made it worse. I'm sure none of you've ever done that, okay? But it seemed like she was actually kind of saying that she didn't say what she said. And then the further we got into the discussion, the more she said things that hurt. But she didn't mean to, okay? So when that happens, we've learned, you know, we've been married 43 years now, and this was a while back this happened, but we've learned to pray, okay? We need to pray because the enemy's trying to get between us. And then we've learned to process. And when we prayed, She said, something came back to me when I was praying. She said, when I was young, I moved something one time. I put it somewhere. I took something in the house, and I didn't put it back where it was supposed to be. And I can't remember what she said, her mother or father, but one of her parents said something like, who put this here? And she said, when I knew that I was not in right standing with my parents because of it, she said, I said, I don't know, but I'll put it back. So I said to her, she said, I put it there. My mother, let's say, said, who put this here? And instead of saying, I did, and I'll put it back, she said, I don't know, but I'll put it back. And so I said to her, so you lied. And she was like, well, now I wouldn't say it was a lie. I said, no, that was a lie, because you knew. And she said, and that's the way I felt the other day when we were talking, that I knew I wasn't in right standing with you. So I was actually kind of trying to cover it up, not just admit it. And so as we talked, I said to her, I said, sugar, you don't have a correct understanding of right standing. I said, right standing is about relationship. Our relationship is we're married. Your relationship with your parents was that you were their daughter. I said, they weren't going to kick you out of the house over that. You weren't out of right standing with them. Just something was wrong that needed to be talked about. Same way with you and I the other day. Something was wrong we need to talk about, but I wasn't going to divorce you over it. You were still in right standing with me. And her parents are humans and I'm human, but what about God? So I really want to know, are you in right standing with God because you do right things? Or do you do right things most of the time because you're in right standing with God? Are y'all following me? All right, so we're going to look at Romans because Paul is really, really trying to get people to understand this. So he's talking about our salvation, but he uses Abraham as an example. Romans chapter 4, verse 2 says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. I want you to remember the word boast. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, we'll get to the boast in a moment, but I want to see the words believed, accounted, and righteousness. I'm going to take those three as my points, but I'm going to do them kind of backwards. So we're going to talk about righteousness first, all right? So here's number one. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? Righteousness is a noun. Righteous is the adjective. Most people believe that this is righteousness is someone who does right things, but that's not what it is. I'm going to actually read you. It actually means right standing with God. That's where we got the title of the message. But I'm going to read you the Strong's Concordance Greek word definition of it, all right? Just part of it, not all of it. But I just want you, it's a little deep, but just stay with it, all right? Because it's really good, all right? Here's the definition from the Strong's Concordance. The state of him who is as he ought to be. The state of him who is as he ought to be, the condition acceptable to God. In other words, it's as you want to be, but you're not. But God's made you that. He's made you righteous. He's put you in right standing with him. So this is for us to understand that God puts us in right standing completely and totally by grace. And here's what it says. If Abraham was justified by works, he could boast. Please hear me. No one in heaven is going to come up to me and say, I'm here because of me. No one. No one's going to say, I earned it. No one's even going to say, I kept the faith. I'm telling you, when you see the nail prints in his hands and his feet, you're going to say, it's because of him that I'm here. Only Jesus. That's the only reason I'm here. Let me say it this way. It says he won't have anything to boast about. Let me put it in Texan for you, okay? Ain't no bragging in heaven. Nobody's going to be bragging that this is why we're here. Now, let me show you another verse. It's kind of deep again in Romans, but it's important for us to catch. Romans 5. Romans 5 is one of the best chapters in the Bible. You ought to read it in several different versions, all right? But Romans 5, verse 17 says, for if by the one man's offense, that's talking about Adam, death reigned through the one, through Adam, much more, now watch this, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I know, again, it's like a long sentence, right? But it says people who do something will reign in life. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because everybody would. How many of you would like to reign in life? That'd be all of us, right? Okay. How do you reign in life? You receive grace and the gift of righteousness. And by the way, it's an abundance of grace we receive. All of us, an abundance of grace. So those who reign in life are not good performers, they're good receivers. Isn't that amazing? Those who reign in life are not the ones that act right, they're the ones that receive grace. And when you receive grace, you receive the gift of righteousness. It's completely and totally a gift. All right, so let's just say if I said to you, Pastor Lorena is a righteous person, what would you think that means? You would think that that means she does right things. Now listen to me, stay with me, okay? And you'd be right. You'd be right. If I said she's a righteous person, that means for the most part, she does right things. That's where the word righteous, okay? Righteous, take the E-O-U-S off the end, and it's right, okay? It comes from the word right, okay? But does she do right things because she's righteous, or is she righteous because she does right things? See, when you get it backward, it messes up all your theology completely and totally. You're not righteous because you do right things. You want to do right things, let's say, because God gives you the gift of righteousness. Is everyone following me on this? Okay, so I have friends to this day that in my opinion, they're 99% grace and 1% law, 1% works. They're really good people. They're great people. And they really believe in grace, but their grace has a but to it. You know, I believe I'm saved by grace, but. Okay, let me tell you what that is. 1% works. Is 99% pride. Because your salvation is still based on you. And if it's based on you, you lost it a long time ago. Everybody in this room, even my saint of a wife, Debbie, because I saw her lose it a few times, okay? But she didn't lose it. Her salvation, because that's based on grace. I was talking with this friend of mine who's a good guy, really good guy, but he just couldn't get grace. And he kept just saying, but, he kept saying it to me a lot, but. So I finally had this analogy come to my mind, and I said to him, hey, if your wife does something wrong, are you going to divorce her? And he said, well, no, of course not. I said, oh, so you're a better husband than Jesus. And he just sat there for a minute. I said, yeah, that's what you're telling me. I said, you're more loving and more forgiving than Jesus. Because you're telling me you're not going to divorce your wife if she does something wrong, but you're telling me Jesus is going to divorce you. And yet he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He even said, even when you run out of faith, I'll still be faithful. Even when you're faithless, that's the exact verbiage. Even when you're faithless, I'm faithful because I can't deny myself. See, when you understand, God really didn't make the covenant with you, and we'll talk about that. He made the covenant with himself. That's why the covenant can't be broken, the new covenant. And you believe and you get in on it. It's incredible. But I remember when I said this to this guy, I said, so you're a better husband than Jesus, huh? I remember just sitting there kind of looking at me. I could see it hit him. And then I saw his eyes fill up with water. And then I saw this tear come down. He said, I've never thought about it that way. And I said, yeah, and you'll never be the same either from this day forward. Once you realize that Jesus is better at forgiving than you are. See, what is righteousness? It's right standing with God, and it's a gift. It's a gift. So that leads us to point two. Did Abraham earn it? Did Abraham earn it? Well, let me show you what we earned, all of us, what we've all earned. Watch this. Romans 6:23. For the wages, that's what you earn, wages, of sin is death. Just want you to know what you've all earned. You've all earned death. That's what you've earned. And this is talking about eternal death. You'll see the context in just a minute. But the free gift, sure would loved if everyone understood the word free. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then watch how clear it is in Romans 11, verse 6. And if by grace, it's no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it's works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. All right, let me say that another way. If it's earned, then it can't be a gift. But if it's a gift, then it can't be earned. Does everyone get that? So it's you got to go one of you got to go one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, it's a gift, but then I have to keep earning it. You can't do that because otherwise it's not a gift. If it's a gift, it's not earned. If it's earned, it's not a gift, all right? Okay, so let me illustrate this, all right? It talked about it was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. So what we're going to do is we're going to do three accounts here, all right? First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do the account of a bad person, someone who's bad, okay? So, I got someone. This guy is really bad. I've known him a long time, and he's bad. I mean, he's bad. I even know his thoughts, and sometimes his thoughts are not good. So, all right. So then we're going to do a good person. Got it. I know a good person, known her a long time as well. So there's a good person. And then let's do a perfect person. Anyone know a perfect person? Oh, Jesus. There you go. That's great. Jesus. He's perfect. All right. Then let's have us a little code down here. S's are going to stand for sin, and R's are going to stand for righteousness. All right, that's a long word. All right, righteousness. Okay. So if S's stand for sin, R's for righteousness, let me show you what Robert looked like before he got saved, all right? This is what my account looked like. Oh, and I did help a lady across, a little lady across the street one time. So I had one R in there, okay? Now, I got saved at 19. Debbie got saved at 9. This is what her account looked like before she got saved. She just had a whole bunch of R's. But remember I told you about the thing with her parents, so she had a little S in there. And I'll bet she had a couple more of these. But you know what? I just remembered a scripture. Isaiah 64, 6. Look at this scripture. Even our righteousness are like filthy rags. So rags begins with an R too. So even Debbie's righteousness is, these are actually rags. And they're filthy. No. This actually makes me feel good because you had more filthy rags than I did in your account. You were filthy before you got saved. Filthy. Jesus' account looked like that. Right? No sin. Perfect. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All right. So what happened when Jesus died on the cross? So let's take away that for a moment. Let's start all over. Got three accounts. So God took all of the sin in the whole world and put it in his son's account. Red is for the blood. Matter of fact, if you don't believe me, you want me to read you the scripture? I don't even have to come over here. I got it memorized. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He knew him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So at 9 years old, Debbie believed, and when she believed, God put righteousness in her account. And at 19 years old, I believed, and when I believed, God put righteousness in my account. That's grace. That's grace, period. Let me give you a little saying here. Salvation is not a goal to be achieved. It's a gift to be received. It is not a goal to be achieved. It's a gift to be received. So, what did Abraham have to do? That's point three. What did Abraham have to do? Well, before you say nothing, he did have to do something. He had to believe. Abraham believed. And it was accounted to him. The counted is an accounting word, account. Righteousness was put in his account when he believed. John 6, verse 28, they said to him, to Jesus, these are the Pharisees, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And now let's go to me, probably the most famous scripture on grace, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace, you have been saved. Already done, already taken care of, once through faith, once you believe. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should brag. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So I just want you to notice something. We're created for good works. God wants us to do right things. But we're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. We don't do good works and that gets us saved. We get saved and then we want to do good works. Is everyone following? So see, from a very young child, Debbie, already had that feeling that when she did something wrong, she wasn't in right standing with her parents. If she said something wrong, she wasn't in right standing with me. But that's not the way God operates. Because we are put in right standing because Jesus did what was right, not because we do what was right. And we believe. I want to invite you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or if maybe you did it a long time ago and you just don't feel right with God right now, you can again renew your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really want to encourage you to do it today. I believe that's why you heard this message today. So I believe with all of my heart that God's amazing grace, His grace, period, is what saves us. And you can accept His grace today. So do it right now. Just accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Or renew your commitment to Him. And we would love to hear from you. If you're giving your life to the Lord, or if you're renewing your commitment to Him, we would love to hear from you and we would love to help you. So let us know. We love you. Hey, I'll see you next time.
In life, we often look for fulfillment in our performance and do everything we can to earn God's favor. In this new series, Grace, Period, Pastor Robert explains that we don't need to live this way. What we truly want has already been given to us.
We don't do good works and that gets us saved. We get saved and then we want to do good works.
As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount today, we'd like to send you this entire teaching series on CD or as an audio digital download. We'll also include Gateway Worship's newest album, Crowns Down. Or for your gift of $85 or more, you can also request Pastor Robert's brand new book, Grace, Period. In his book, Pastor Robert unpacks the full meaning and significance of God's grace, guiding you toward enjoying the abundant life that God has promised us through Jesus. Additionally, for your gift of $135 or more, you'll receive the newly released Grace Period Study Guide, designed to lead you on a profound journey into the life and teachings of Jesus. Pastor Robert reveals the beauty and perfection of God's amazing grace. You'll also receive a beautiful Every Moment journal along with a matching bookmark. We'll also send you a large print Fresh Start Bible, where Pastors Robert Morris, Jack Hayford, and other key leaders answer common questions and provide the tools for building a strong spiritual foundation. Visit us at PastorRobert.com to get these special resources today. As always, thank you for your continuous prayers and generous financial support of Pastor Robert Morris Ministries. Living your best life isn't about having a dream home, wonderful kids, or the ideal job. It's about changes in your family, health, and relationships. When God changes your heart, you'll discover that there is so much more to life. With humor, passion, and clarity, Pastor Robert presents The Secrets of Living Your Best Life.